So it's great to be here with you. I'm just going to very, very quickly tell you a little bit about myself so that you at least know what I do. My name is Mike Adams. I'm from Llanelli. Don't hold that against me. I work for two Christian organisations. One is called World Horizons, which is a mission organisation based in Llanelli, and the other one is Scripture Union, which goes around all over the world, but in the UK, I'm the West Wales School Development Worker. Okay, so there you go. So what do I do with World Horizons? Well, myself and Sarah, my wife, we work in Swansea, reaching out to international people in Swansea. On a Wednesday night, we've got something we call Signpost. It happens in Spring Terrace Church. And we open that up and people come and we chat with them and talk with them. And if they want to, we invite them to a Bible study beforehand. So we're always saying, if you want to know more about what we believe, come to the Bible study. Now, we've had up to 12 people come to the Bible study. We've had, at the moment, it's going through a bit of a lull. We've had about 6 coming, and then it's kind of dropped off a little bit. So you can pray for that. But also, during the week, we try to invite ourselves or meet up with people in their houses and try to share the gospel with them. We haven't seen anybody coming to the Lord yet, but we've seen lots of people taking a good journey. And that's encouraging. That is encouraging. But we long to see people getting saved, because that's the nugget at the end of a journey, or beginning of a journey, depending how you look at it, okay? But we long for that. But just let me give you a quick story of a Chinese lady who came, and somebody asked her, what religion are you? Her answer was, I don't understand your question. What religion? Didn't even know what that meant. She's a lecturer. She is a professor. She was on an international exchange in Swansea University. She knew her stuff, but she didn't understand this question. Anyway, we used to invite them to the Bible study. She had no time for the Bible. She had no time for this. After a bit of time, she started to show a little bit of interest. She came along, understood a little bit. She went away to Manchester one week, and as she came back, she walked in on a Wednesday, and I'll call her Sue for now. And so I said, "Hiya, Sue, how are you? How did it go in Manchester?" This was her answer to me. "Mike, I enjoyed Manchester. I'll tell you about it later. I'm going upstairs to study the Bible." I said, "What?" "Well, I've got no time to talk to you now. I just want to study the Bible." She'd gone on a journey. She started to see in the Word of God something different. She hasn't become a Christian, but she told us as she was going back to China, she knew she hadn't become a Christian, but she could tell us the gospel. And she said, "When I get back to China, I'm going to tell all my friends about this person, Jesus." She's not a Christian yet, but she's seeing something different in this man, Jesus Christ. Please pray for those people. Pray for them. Pray that they come to know him, because just knowing the gospel isn't enough. Just being happy about it, just telling people about it isn't enough. We've got to know it ourselves and know him ourselves. My Scripture Union work, so Sarah is involved in the Signpost work in Swansea. Scripture Union work Sarah isn't involved in. Basically, what my job is to go around the counties that I cover, Neath Port Talbot, Swansea, Carmarthenshire, Ceredigion, Pembrokeshire, and sometimes Gwynedd. So that's the stretch that I cover, and my job is to encourage people to get involved in mission with people under 18, to be involved in outreach and stuff like that. So schools work, yes, but in the community. So I'm involved in the Pembrokeshire mission. I'm going down there twice to do some schools work with them, and to take a football cage on a Saturday and to share the gospel through things like that. So I'm involved in that. I've just taught them, trained them in Easter Cracked, if you know that program, great little program, and so we're doing that with them. So that's who I am, okay? That's what I'm involved in. So thank you, and be great if you can pray for us. We really cherish people praying for us and helping us, and we know that you do an English class here on a Thursday, so we'll be signposting people to that, because we don't want to set up loads of different things in the city if there's churches doing them. So if you go do mother and toddlers and you do English classes and all that kind of stuff, we can tell people, oh, if you want to learn English for free, why don't you go to Town Hill Baptist? They do it on a Thursday morning. They come, they make friends with Christians, hopefully, and, you know, that's a much better way than us setting new things up all the time when there's lots of things happening in the city. So that's our heart. Great. Now, you may be asking, why on earth did Mike read that Christmas reading? Because that's when we hear it most of the time, at Christmas. Because it's another special day today, isn't it? It's Mother's Day. And I thought, because it's Mother's Day, I thought it would be great to look at probably one of the most famous mothers ever, Mary. And, you know, not that I think Mary was sinless. I don't think she was special in that way. She was definitely a special woman in the sense that God chose her to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But she was just an ordinary woman as well. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't a special woman in that sense. But she was an ordinary woman. But what a mother. And I want to take note of just one little thing that she said, that is said about her. Let me just read that little thing that she said. Verse 19, it says this. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. When we think about treasuring up, we think of something precious, something really precious. And she's seen all these things happening, you know, shepherds coming and telling her that it was angels in the sky and all these things about this little baby, about this little baby she'd been given birth to, that she'd carried for 9 months like any other mother would, has gone through the pain of childbirth, who beforehand has had a bit of a bad experience in so many ways. You know, in the day, we know the story, you know, where Joseph is going to divorce her quietly, but he's told she's gone through some scandal. She's, you know, we sometimes jump over the human element, don't we? She's gone through a bit of scandal. And probably, we don't know, but more than likely, when Joseph didn't divorce her, we think, oh, well done, you know, that's put. Probably they were thinking, oh, Joseph has done something he shouldn't have done then. And you know, so there's a bit of scandal about this little family. And all of a sudden, there's shepherds come in and saying, we saw angels in the sky that told us where to come, and we've come to see you. And they come and worship. And later on, not in our typical narrative of the Bible, but probably about 2 years later on, some wise men turn up. There is probably about 2 years between them. I know we put them all together in our nativity scene, but probably didn't happen like that. And they come and they start worshipping. Wow. But Mary says about these early events, what she treasured them and she pondered them. Think about something carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. That's what ponder means, English dictionary. I'm a class English dictionary person, okay? Think about carefully, especially before making a decision or reaching a conclusion. Here's a question. I want you on this Mother's Day to ponder. I want you to ponder something. I want you for the next 10 minutes. Can I have 10 minutes of your undivided attention? I want you to ponder a question. I want you to think carefully. I want you to especially think before making a decision about this thing. And here's the question. Who is this baby in the manger? Who is he? Who is he? Now, we can all say Jesus. But I want you to think, who is this Jesus? Who is he? Is he just a man? Is he just a good teacher? Is he just a prophet? Islam would say he's just a prophet. Or is he who he claims he to be? All those things. And the one in the middle, especially so. I am God. You see, some people say, well, he never really said it so clearly as that, but he said it in such a way that all the religious leaders of the time knew what he was saying. You see, the religious leaders of the time, they knew what he was saying. If he wasn't, he's being blasphemous. He's claiming to be God. This Jesus can't be just a good man because he's claiming to be God. He's saying, I'm God. And if he's God, here's another thing I want you to ponder. So ponder first, is he God? There's lots of answers to that. You can say yes, no, I'm not sure. But ponder it, because if he's not, I think it's C.S. Lewis that says he's a liar or a lunatic. If he's not who he says he is, he's a liar and a lunatic. So there's a good man gone, and a good teacher, because he's a lunatic. He's either a lunatic, liar, or Lord. In other words, God. But you're enough, so ponder that one. Which one do you come? Think about it, seriously. Take time to think about it. But here's another one. Why? Why did he come? Why on earth did God come to this place? Why did God come to this planet? Why? Here's a question we need to ponder. Because if it's true, it's mind-blowing. If he's just a lunatic or a liar, it's not mind-blowing. If he's just a man, he's just a man that was born. But if he's God, why on earth did God come here? Why did God come to this planet? Why? I want to suggest to you why he came. The Bible teaches us very clearly why he came, but you may not agree with that teaching. But I want you to ponder it. Why did God come here? And the truth is very, very, very simple in some ways, and yet so profound. You see, God is a God of justice, and he's a God of love. And the reason that Jesus Christ came was to meet both these things. Man was given the ultimate authority over this world. God made it in 6 days, we've heard already. But gave the authority to look after it to man. He said, this is yours, look after it. And we give it away. Our representative give it away. And we say, oh, well, you know, he's only our representative. Well, this afternoon, Wales will be playing Italy. And some of us who love rugby will be saying, hopefully at the end of the game, we beat Italy. We. Why? Because they represent us. They represent our nation. When I say we beat Italy, guess what? I didn't. I wasn't playing. I didn't have any. I haven't even coached them. I sometimes think I could do a better job, but that's a pride, isn't it? Right? But they represent us. We beat Italy, hopefully. We'll be saying that. And in the same way, our representatives give this planet away to sin, to suffering, to all those things. And they came flooding in. It came flooding in. And God, right at the beginning, said, there's got to be a way to win these people back, to win this creation, to win all that I've made back to myself. But I can't overlook justice. They've messed up. They've done something wrong. There's got to be a punishment for justice. Otherwise, I'm not just. Now, I don't think God was in a dilemma. But if there was a dilemma, here's a dilemma. I've got to be just, but I want to show love. How does he do that? He does it in lots of ways. But the ultimate view of that is in this person, Jesus Christ. And the ultimate expression of justice and love is on the cross. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, he was there for two reasons. He was there, one, because he loves us. We sing about things like that, you know, grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above. You know, on the mount of crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. And English loses a bit of the translation, I'm sorry. Right? I'm not one of these people who harps on about the Welsh language, but floodgates are controllable. In Welsh it says, Torrodd holl ar gaiair nefoedd. In other words, all the dams of heaven burst. Uncontrollable. When Jesus said, it is finished, love poured out from heaven in an uncontrollable way and kissed, I love that, kissed the guilty world. Amazing, love flowed. But also Jesus wasn't only on the cross for that. And we do a disservice to the cross if we just think it's because of love. He was there for love. But he was also there to take a punishment, to silence the justice of God. He took what I deserved. We've sung about it now in mercy and grace. He took what I deserved. I deserved punishment. I deserved God's punishment for sin. But Jesus Christ took it. Jesus Christ took the punishment of God. He took the wrath of God. We sing in another song, the wrath of God was satisfied. He was satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Amazing words. Amazing words. You see, this morning, I want you to ponder. I want you to think. I want you to take deeply into your heart and think about these things. That Jesus Christ died for you. For you. He took God's punishment for you. He loves you. He loves you. He took God's punishment for you. Will you ponder that? Will you ponder it? Will you give yourself, will you be brave enough to think about these things? Will you be courageous enough not to just turn off, not to just walk out and say, well, that was another Sunday morning, done and dusted? Will you be courageous enough to think about these things? Who is this Jesus? Why did he come? And thirdly, because ponder says, before making a decision, what will you decide? The word of God, the Bible says this, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not about coming to church. It's a good thing to do. It's not about reading the Bible. Good thing to do. It's not about praying or singing the right hymns and songs. All good things to do. No. Here's us on offer. A relationship with the living God. A relationship with the living God. Not because I deserve it. Not because you deserve it. You and me are in the same camp. And you know what camp we're in? The fallen short camp. Can't make it on our own. But the wonderful transforming news of Christianity is that God reaches us. Every other religion in the world is trying to reach God. Every other religion in one way or another is trying to say, we've got to be good enough for God. We've got to do things to reach God. And this is what God says about it. You'll never do it. You're going to fall short. You know, it doesn't matter if I fall short here or if I fall short over there. I've still fallen short. Christianity says, I'm reaching out to you. Where you've fallen, I'm reaching out to you. This morning, my friends, this morning, you can make a decision. This morning, you can come to him and say, Lord, I've messed up. I've messed up. I've sinned. I've fallen short. I know that I've fallen short. Please help me. Come and touch my life. Come and reach out to me. I need you. I'm desperate for you. I can't do it without you. I can try to be good. I can try even to be really good. I can even be good. But I still fall short because inside me there's this problem called sin. And Jesus has dealt with it for you. But you've got to trust him. You've got to accept him as your Lord and Savior. It's not about trying to be good. It's about giving it over to him and saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I can't reach you on my own. I can't satisfy this demand on my life on my own. I need you, Lord Jesus. Friends, I ask you this morning, will you ponder these things? Will you think carefully about them? But you need to make a decision. You need to make a decision. And with every decision, there's a consequence. Every decision's got that. Not only spiritual ones, every decision. You can decide that this is a load of rubbish, or that he was just a good man, but that's got a consequence. It's got a consequence that you will not be with him forever in heaven, but you will be lost in eternity. Lost. And the decision to follow him may cost us on planet Earth, it may cost us, but it means we'll be with him forever. With him forever, in a glorious place. In a place where there's no suffering and no pain. Where the richest thing on the world, you know, the gold of this world, will be put on the floor. Amazing, eh? Gold! What everybody craves for in heaven, tarmac. Put it down. Walk on it. That's how wonderful heaven's going to be. What a place. You want to be there? Want to be there? You've got to accept Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he says so. Not me. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the Lord Jesus Christ declares. So this morning, I finish by saying, will you ponder, who is this Jesus? Why did he come? And I need to make a decision. Ponder it. Come to a decision. My prayer is that decision will be, Lord, you are who you say you are. I want to follow you. Amen.